Kind of feel like you're living in Groundhog Day. I know it's for many people like me, it's kind of like Groundhog Day because every day is the same. Try not to make it the same, but everybody lives in their PJs, you know, so not everybody, but many people. And so this has been a time people have all this free time on their hands, so they've been really creative. They have done all these parody songs. Have you seen all these? All over the internet. They take a song and they rewrite the words to make it. So there's lots of and preachers have become TV evangelists. Your everyday preacher down the road, he is now on the internet, he's a TV evangelist. And anybody who ever thought they could sing is now singing. So everybody, because we have all this time on our hands. And we, if you even want to think about it, if you're not an essential employee or you can't work at home, don't even think about trying to get out there and work. So you're locked in to our own Groundhog Day. And it's easy, I think, right now to kind of wonder, is there a purpose in all this? I mean, does God have a purpose for me? I can understand how people would kind of be questioning that. I mean, does God want us to live the rest of our life in PJs? What is his purpose for our lives? Well, I've been in a series of sermons on what I'm sure of. I'm sure that God is in control. I'm sure that God cares for me. And today, God gives me a purpose. And even during this time when days run into weeks, God has a purpose for right now. And he has a purpose for the future. We've been studying John 15. Jesus tells this parable in the upper room, and this is the parable of the vine. And the parable of the vine basically reveals the relationship between God, Jesus, and us in a symbolic way. You remember that God is the gardener, and we've looked at the different things that the gardener of a vineyard does. Last week we looked at one of the most difficult jobs of a gardener, and that is the task of pruning. It's a time-consuming process. So today I want to focus specifically on why God prunes and why God lifts and his purpose. And his purpose is our purpose. So I want you to listen for God's purpose to us. Now remember, we are just a branch. And as I read these words, I want you to listen to what the gardener's purpose for the branch is. This is from John 15, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Did you see God's purpose for us? To bear fruit. So imagine you decide you're going to plant a vineyard right here in Georgia, and you put all the effort into doing it, and you do everything right, and it's all lined up, and you've got your trellises set up, and you've got this beautiful vineyard, and you go out and you look at it, there's beautiful vines, there's beautiful branches, and there's beautiful leaves, but there's no fruit. Looks really nice. Is it accomplishing its purpose? No, because the purpose of a grapevine is to produce grapes. Fruit matters. And I think every Christian would agree that they should bear fruit. And they want to do it, I think. So how? So let's look at our text closely. I see 4 ways to bear fruit. The first way is to make God's purpose your purpose. Jesus says in verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So what is our purpose? Our first purpose is to remain attached to Jesus, to remain attached to the vine. Now, I think a lot of people think that being a Christian means you just believe in Jesus, and that if you're nice to people and you do nice things occasionally, you can do whatever you want because you believe in Jesus and you're doing what God wants, and that's what being fruitful means, but it's just not true. If you're not attached to Jesus, like the branch is attached to a vine, you can't bear fruit. So I want you to think about this. God has a purpose for you, and it's much bigger and better than anything you can come up with on your own. The problem is, right now, people are not really thinking about God's purpose. That's not really what's on people's minds. So what are people thinking about? Well, they're thinking about something a little more dangerous than the virus. And it's fueled by what the government's saying, and it's fueled by the media. People are thinking about themselves. They are focused on a self-preservation mode, their concerns. So what I've done, I've talked to a lot of people. I've been looking on the internet. I've been trying to figure out what are people most concerned about. Here's what I've come up with. I think the top concerns for what people have today. Number one, am I safe from the virus? Number two, do I have the food I want? Now, not necessarily have food, but I got the stuff. I got to have the favorite thing that I want. Do we going to have that? You know. Number three, can I pay my bills? See, when people become afraid or they're in the self-preservation mode, they are focused on themselves. They want to take care of themselves. And so everything that they do revolves around taking care of themselves and their family. Now, another big concern, what do the medical professionals say? Now, remember, God is not even on the list yet. God did not even make the top five yet. And I do want to warn you about number four, okay? I want to warn you about putting medical professionals above God. And I think it's happening today. See, too many people are now basing their life purpose on what a guy with a lab coat says, okay? So now we have household names, Sanjay Gupta and Anthony Fauci. These have become names that everybody knows. Everybody's talking about them. And people are glued to their TVs. And they're watching what Dr. Fauci says. And they're basing their life on this. These people have now become life advisors. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be responsible, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be informed, but we have to be critical. So let me bring this down to a practical level. All right, so how many of you have been to the doctor and they have given you medicine and it didn't work? Okay. How many of you have been to the doctor and they gave you medicine that actually made you sick? Okay. Because a doctor is, and I'm glad we have doctors. No, I'm not. That's not anti-doctor. I'm not anti-doctor, but I'm just saying, don't we're kind of cautious, aren't we? We're like, this isn't working, or I'm going to have to go back. And this is not. These are medical professionals, but they are doing their very best to give you something, but they don't really know exactly what to give you, do they? They're making an educated guess. And I'm not trying to be negative, and I'm not trying to burst anybody's bubble, but Anthony Fauci and Sanjay Gupta have been wrong before. I know this is kind of hard to swallow. They have. And so doctors are wrong. And we all know that. We live with that every day. So all I'm saying is be responsible and just remember they're just men. So when they tell you to do something, and I think we should all be listening, realize they're just men. And also remember this. If we listen to God as much as we listen to these men, our world would be a lot better place. Okay? We're not listening to God. Okay? God's purpose doesn't even break the top five in our most people's lives today. So if we want to be fruitful, we have to move God's purposes to number one. Those other things are all important, but God has to be number one. We have to shift our focus. If we just ignore God and we just focus on ourselves and we listen to the news, our spiritual life is going to wither up and we're going to be self-absorbed and we're not going to be bearing much fruit for Jesus. I encourage you to spend as much time doing things like reading your Bible, praying, watching Christian programming, listen to gospel music, do other things, do as much of that as you're going to do the news. I'm not saying don't watch the news, but you better do as much time doing other things other than just the news. Do not base your life on the news. We have to change our outlook. God is the great physician. His purposes are bigger than ourselves, and his purposes are bigger than the medical experts. Now, we are just branches. We're not the vine. We're not the gardener. We get our purpose from the vine. So how do we bear fruit? Second way is to obey when it doesn't make sense. Now, I realize that what I'm preaching today is not something you're hearing on the news, because everything on the news is focused on you. This is what you need to know. This is what's going to help your life. To bear fruit, we have to change our focus. We have to focus on God. The world says we need to pull back. The world says we need to isolate. The world says we need to be afraid. But did you notice in our text all the references to bearing fruit? Verse 2, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Verse 4, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Verse 5, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Do you see the focus outward? It's beyond ourselves. The branch has a bigger purpose than itself. So nobody walks around a vineyard or a fruit stand and looks at the trees. Nobody goes into a vineyard and looks at the branches. Wow, look at those branches on that. The branches on that vineyard are just beautiful. Oh no. Everybody wants the fruit, right? The fruit, the branch exists to produce fruit. See, the fruit matters. Someone says, well, I want to produce fruit. I want to do amazing things for God. My answer is, start with simple obedience. Simple obedience. If you look at your scripture, if you just turn back one page to John chapter 14 and verse 12, this is what Jesus says. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. When God's purpose is our purpose, we do the things that God commanded us to do. Now, at times, it's going to feel unnatural. And it's not going to make sense. Do you realize right now, the world is making it feel unnatural for people to greet each other? They're making it feel unnatural even to go to worship. That's why I commend you for being here. But the world is telling you, you don't need to go to worship. Even now, young, healthy people, no problems whatsoever. They are afraid to go to worship because that's the message they're getting from the media. So right now, it's really not making much sense to go to church. And in time, there's going to be a lot more things that the world's going to say, well, listen, you don't need to do that. You don't need to worry about that kind of stuff. Things that used to be expected of a Christian, don't worry about that stuff. Just ignore those things. It's the new standard. It's the new standard set by the media, set by the government. Don't be one of those. Here's the message I'm getting. Don't be one of those wacky, crazy Christians that goes to church. This is the message that's being sent out. You just stay home and you just worship. So let me challenge you. I want you to think about your purpose today. Are you bearing fruit and are you being obedient to God? I'm not telling anybody to be irresponsible. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying don't listen to these messages that you're getting from the media. And all we're doing is soaking up the media right now. So how can I bear fruit? The third way is to accept God's pruning to be more productive. John 15:2 says, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be more fruitful. I talked about this last week. I was mentioning to Anne, she's somebody who knows what it is to prune. She's a good pruner. And down here, I think we know a little bit about pruning here. Last week I talked about why branches are pruned. Sometimes it's for their own survival, but the biggest reason is so that they'll be more fruitful, because without pruning, that plant is not going to bear much fruit. So branches are broken off of a beautiful vine. Some are moved. But the lesson that we learn from the Christian life is that those times is when we learn to trust God the most. Sometimes we find ourselves moving further and further away from Christ. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's not even that bad, but it's just taking our attention away from God. Maybe it's something that we're enjoying. We're just doing it for ourselves. And we're thinking about ourselves so much, and God says, okay, you need some pruning. Andrew Murray said it this way: during times of purging, we will see Christ as we have never seen him before. Sometimes the closeness, the awareness of Christ in our lives becomes clear during times like this, because we're more dependent on him. During this time, I have been finding in my own life that I've been seeing Jesus more clearly. So remember, in the life of a grapevine, after a beautiful harvest, that vine is cut back, and all those branches that bore fruit, they're all cut down, and the grapevine almost looks dead. But there's still a couple branches left. They keep some branches for the vine, and they keep some for the coming year for bearing fruit. The roots of the grapevine, they grow deeper into the soil. The pruning was for the new growth, which would come in the spring. Sometimes during times of pruning in our lives, we experience pain. We experience self-denial. All we have is faith, and God is in control, and he's working for our good. And right, it may seem like it's a winter time, and there's no growth, and everything looks like it's dead. But remember, spring is coming. Spring has always been my favorite time of year, because I love to see everything springing out, especially if you've had a really long winter. If we want to bear fruit, we don't need to get mad at God, because he's just the gardener. He's in control. He's going to make us better. He's going to make us more productive. And I think right now, we are in a pruning time for the church. God is calling us to be faithful. He's calling us to be obedient, and it's not feeling very natural. It's not feeling very good. God is trying to break us out of our comfort zone, and it's becoming easy to be comfortable, and it's becoming easy to focus on ourselves, but God is working on pruning us. And here's the point: pruning is not going to feel natural. It's not going to feel good. But there's a purpose involved. Now, people are talking about the economy coming back. Some people are saying it's going to come back stronger than ever. I really don't know. I mean, I hope so. I'm optimistic. But I can tell you one thing: God is going to use this virus to make the church better and stronger and more faithful. But it's going to be evident that there's some pruning going on, because people that used to go to church just because it was fun, or just because, hey, I should probably go, it's kind of expected to go, those people have an excuse now not to go to worship. And they probably will not be back. I hope I'm wrong. But that's what happens in pruning. The church overall is going to be more focused. It's going to be more faithful. But right now, we're just living in the here and now. We can't see the big picture. But God has a purpose for what's happening here. And one day maybe we'll get to see exactly what happened as a result of this. So how can I bear fruit? Now, the fourth way: do everything for the glory of God. I want you to look at verse 8 with me one more time. John 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Did you see our main purpose? Our main purpose is to produce fruit. To my Father's glory. Now remember, we're just a branch. The branch has one purpose, and that is to produce fruit for someone else. People don't go around asking about the branches. Can I see the branches that this fruit came from? No. Because all they're concerned about is the fruit. The fruit is for somebody else. We struggle with this in the Christian faith because we want to make it about us. It becomes, I remember the day I got saved. I remember the day I escaped from hell. I can tell you all the things that God has done for me. Or I can tell you the things that I do for God. See, the me has become too big. We're emphasizing the me bigger than God. Me has become the area of focus. Producing fruit means we are gladly dependent on Him. We put all of our effort into bringing Him glory. And He's going to produce joy in our life. Jesus says we produce fruit by showing ourselves, by showing yourself to be my disciples. So in other words, we don't get the praise. We don't get the honor. People are supposed to look at us and say, oh, so that's what a Christian is. We try to make Jesus appealing through our actions. So I want to challenge you, evaluate your life. That's what I've been doing. You got a lot of time on your hands. Okay. So during this time, evaluate your life, evaluate your purpose. What has God been telling you? What is God's purpose for your life? What I know for sure, I already know God's purpose for my life. But I still ask myself, God, what do you want me to do? And what is going to bring you the most glory? Can you ask God that? Do that this week as you're praying. God, what do you want me to do? And what can I do to bring you the most glory? God is using this time to test us. He's using this time to challenge us. He's challenging us to do some things. He's challenging us not to do some things. So we will bear fruit so that we will bring Him glory. So when we come to Mother's Day, I was thinking about my mom. You know, my mom, I had an old school mother. So when I was growing up, my old school, I'm going to just give you some ideas. When we were growing up, you didn't just go and lay in the living room and watch TV. It wasn't going to happen. Because if we laid in the living room, my mom would find something for us to do. So you'd be like, oh, so you're laying around. Well, I got a couple things I need you to do. And you did not hang out in the kitchen, especially if it was cooking time, because she would find things that she needed help with. We learned this very quick. We were either outside or in our rooms. We did not just hang around. You just didn't lay around, because she was always productive in finding us things to do. And she didn't let us sleep too late in the mornings. Okay, so if we didn't have school, she was generous enough to let us sleep until 9 in the morning. Okay, 9 o'clock. And so we're laying in bed, as you can picture this now, especially as a teenage boy. You're laying in bed, sleeping. And mom comes storming in the bedroom, and she grabs the blind and snaps it. You know, it comes up. And all that sunlight comes raging into the room. And so we're like the shepherds on, you know, the first Christmas, like, whoa, you know. And she says, get up. You can't sleep the day away. She said that all the time. Anyway, so then we had to get up. You know, we're stumbling around, whoa, you know, finding our way. And she made breakfast for us, but then she had plans for us. She had a purpose for getting us up. My mom had a purpose. And, you know, there's a purpose. So what I want to do is I want to pull the shade down on you today and let that sunlight in and say, God has a purpose for you. He does. You can't sleep the day away. The church cannot sleep the day away. God has things for us to do. So we just got to find our purpose. Well, I found my purpose when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I turned from my sin, when I confessed Him, when I was baptized, at that moment, my life began changing. And my life became one where my purpose became more and more defined, because that's what God does. So God has a purpose for me, and He has a purpose for you. So I pray that you'll seek God and you'll find that purpose.